All right, Ray, let's do this. Ray Allen, my engineer, producer, and me, Bill Buckmaster, ready with the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. It's April 13th, 2016, coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, live streaming our show, which means if you're around a computer anywhere in the world, you can listen to our program live at buckmastershow.com and, of course, kvoi.com. We've got our podcast. We have the complete show archive available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, 790-2040, for your calls and comments. You've got some questions. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to be talking about air service, air traffic out of Tucson. That will be our first half hour. And then the second half hour, Tucson Weekly education writer David Safir will be with us on the Buckmaster Show. But right now, let's get right into our quarterly Tucson Air Service update here on the Buckmaster Show. Dick Grunzel is here. Dick is Vice President of Administration and Finance and the Chief Financial Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority, which under its portfolio has Tucson International Airport. Dick, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Bill. Thank you.
And there is another airport in the portfolio too, the smaller airport.
Ryan Airfield.
People never talk
General
about
Aviation,
it. Never
right.
talk about it.
It's a nice airport.
How's it
too.
Doing?
It's doing very well. I tell you, you talk about a great property. I mean, the people who have hangars out there just love it. There's actually another hangar development that's right, getting in the early stages of being built right now. So it's a great general aviation airport.
We have a ton of things to talk about. We're going to talk about the renovation project that'll be coming up, some of the TSA staffing issues. But first, let's start with what looks very encouraging to get this 2016 year off as far as numbers coming, people coming and going through our airport.
Yeah, this busy season, which for the airport, our busiest times of the year are, typically January through April. And, we did have some nice increases in capacity to existing cities. I mean, certainly we'd like more if there were increases to new cities. But, Delta added service to Los Angeles, joining three other carriers on that route. They also added some service to Seattle. United added a daily flight to O'Hare. And, with that additional service, we saw some really strong passenger growth in January and February, both of those months being up almost 5%. And those were some of our largest increases in passenger traffic that we've seen over the last few years.
And that reflects on what my friends at Visit Tucson have said, that overall, this is a really good winter for tourism coming here and hotel occupancy. And the price point for hotels is up a little bit too, which is good news.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, we track, pretty closely with our tourism industry in terms of what we do at the airport. And I also sit on the board, actually, of Visit Tucson. And January and February for them in the area is up something like 18% in the revenue per available room night, which is a combination of occupancy as well as room rate. So they saw some tremendous results in the first part of the year, and that reflected on us as well.
And United, you mentioned, will be bringing back O'Hare service year-round?
Yeah, this year they ran that starting in December, and it's scheduled to end towards about the end of, right about now, actually. And next year, they've added that to the schedule back in October. At this point, they have no end date, so we're cautiously optimistic that that's going to turn into a year-round service.
We had Leah Marquez-Peterson of the Hispanic Chamber on the show. I know you know Leah. She was with us yesterday, and we're talking about the Mexico flights, and that's an area that you have worked very hard on. And are we? How does the Guaymas service look right now?
The gentleman that that is spearheading that effort, who is a developer in San Carlos, he's still working on it. It's a very complicated thing to get going, and he has had to kind of push it out a little bit. He was hoping it was going to be something that might be starting up in June. I'd say it's probably not likely that that's going to happen at this point, but I'm not sure summer is the best time to start that route anyway. Still working on it. Still very hopeful that that's going to start, sometime in the next few months.
And there was kind of a shuttle or a service out of Phoenix that they dropped the Volaris, I believe, that airline. It's right. A private carrier out of Mexico City. They dropped service to, was it Hermosillo?
Between Phoenix and Hermosillo, right?
Yeah.
It only lasted for about 2 months, unfortunately. But, you know, so we've actually talked with Volaris as well, and mm-hmm. we've been talking with another Mexican carrier as well about service to Hermosillo, because we actually think that's probably the best route that we have here in Tucson, you know, into Sonora. And, you know, it's funny. People think that just because Phoenix is larger than Tucson, that a flight like that, you know, from Phoenix to Hermosillo would work better than a flight between Tucson and Hermosillo.
Actually, the Tucson would work better.
Tucson would work much better.
It would.
The ties,
because both the on historic
a personal
ties
and business basis between Tucson and Hermosillo and Sonora are much stronger than they are between Phoenix and Sonora.
And that is why Aeromexico, when they opened up international travel, Tucson was one of their big players in the old days because of this historic relationship between Mexico and Southern Arizona.
And it's you know, we present data to the Mexican airlines, and they, you know, it's kind of funny because in Mexico, Sonora is kind of like the backcountry. It's kind of like the forgotten land because it's so far away from Mexico City. And most of the Mexican carriers are based in Mexico City, so they frankly don't have a very good understanding of the connections in Sonora and Southern Arizona.
But that Volaris group, you would think they might look at us seriously.
I absolutely. Okay. You know, and we're continuing to talk with them. I mean, we're exploring every avenue possible.
All right, let's go to the live line right now. And I think Jim is with us. Our friend Jim Kelly has called. Hey, Jim, you're with Dick Grunzel.
Hi, Dick. It's Jim Kelly. Hey, plans to increase airlift between Tucson and Dulles, Raikin, or BWI, particularly like red eyes from Tucson to the East Coast, so somebody could actually end up on the East Coast in the morning as opposed to late afternoon or evening?
Okay, thanks, Jim. Great questions. It's kind of lots of different things there. So in terms of the Washington, D.C. area, which obviously, as you mentioned, includes BWI in Baltimore, that is certainly one of our top priorities. New York and Washington, D.C. area are both top priorities. You know, we've actually, you know, I think that was probably one of the other things that Bill was going to bring up here. You know, both of those destinations for us are about equal in terms of the number of passengers that travel between Tucson and Washington, and Tucson and New York is about equal. It's over 200 per day.
Wow.
You know, kind of the business and tourism community in Tucson, you know, between the two of them has actually kind of prioritized New York, actually over Washington, D.C. And the Tucson Metro Chamber and some of their board members, in particular, Bill Ossenmacher, who runs Cade Industries here in Tucson, have stepped up big time, and they've raised a revenue guarantee to help us try and attract an airline to add service between Tucson and New York. And we have currently three of the big national carriers that are interested in that route. I'd say probably two out of the three, a little more interested than the third. But, you know, we really think we've got a very good chance of actually adding service between Tucson and New York City to start either this fall or, you know, very early next calendar year.
Yeah, because, you know, if you had to choose between Washington and New York, I would think the obvious choice would be the New York metropolitan area, because it's the largest area of the – well, maybe the L.A. basin has more people. But still, it's huge.
It is huge. And you know, from a tourism standpoint, mm-hmm. You know, and Visit Tucson has done studies on this, the visitor spend and the amount of time that the visitors spend once they get here visitors from New York are number one in that category. So New York is a very high, you know, value customer from a tourism standpoint, and also from a convention standpoint. And there are a lot of associations, businesses who will not even consider having a convention here if there's not a nonstop flight.
Wow.
So from those aspects, New York is slightly, you know, more desirable than Washington, D.C.
Newark Airport dropped some of their slot restrictions. Does that help us?
It's probably one of those things where it certainly can't hurt. And I would say, yes, it probably does help us because in the previous situation, if a carrier like United, for example, who, you know, has a lot of flights out of Newark, if they wanted to add a flight between Tucson and Newark, they would have to discontinue another flight. Now that the slot restrictions are being essentially eliminated, they won't have to actually eliminate another flight in order to add one from Tucson anymore.
And Cuba is opening up, so I wonder how that is going to affect all of this.
Yeah, and it's funny. Everything in the airline industry is interrelated. So mm-hmm. Cuba all of the airlines, it's almost like a feeding frenzy.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's been bidding on it. And I guess yeah. October is the latest, or we're hearing September, October, for the decision on who gets the
right.
really valuable nonstop service right. into Havana.
And the reason this impacts even us here in Tucson is because at the same time that the airlines are considering whether they have an airplane that could fly between Tucson and New York, they have to take into consideration how many planes they're going to need to start these new routes to Cuba. So we're, you know, in a way, we're almost in competition with Cuba for an airplane, you know, for us to get a flight to New York.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. 790-2040. Dick Grunzel is here. We are going to talk about the TSA situation out at the airport. Some of the lines have been longer than usual. They've got some staffing issues. Dick will fill us in on that. And I've seen the renovation drawings. They really look nice. This is a huge project that's going to be coming on board. We'll tell you about that right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. What if you could see tomorrow? At Biosphere 2, being at the forefront of scientific discovery and innovation is our goal. And every Saturday during April, Biosphere 2 will present expert talks and have science activities focusing on Earth Month. What if presentations include a Nobel Prize-winning climate professor, Oceans Day, and wild jaguars in Arizona? Tours daily and more info at biosphere2.org. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Very appropriate music, Come Fly With Me, Frank Sinatra. And we're talking about flying with Dick Grunzel from Tucson International Airport. Before we move on to the renovation in new business about airlines, I do want to mention about Alaska, because we were talking about different airlines that are merging, and Alaska has purchased Virgin America for a lot of money, and I'm wondering, what does that mean for Tucson? Because Alaska is has service here,
right? You know, Alaska. It's an interesting story because you know most people on the East Coast and the Midwest are really not very familiar with Alaska. Out here on the West Coast area, we are very familiar with Alaska, and frankly, they are a fantastic airline. And they have new planes. Their planes are very well appointed. They offer great service. They have great airfares. It's a really great airline. And we have a very good relationship with Alaska here in Tucson. They have flights to both Seattle and Portland. So with their acquisition of Virgin America that's coming up, with Virgin having hubs at both L.A., San Francisco, New York, I mean, it's frankly another option for us in the New York area if one of these other airlines would not work out for some reason. And San Francisco, I think, is going to be another great opportunity with that acquisition.
Yeah, I would think so.
Because, you know, to get some big airplanes flying between Tucson and San Francisco.
A lot of people love Virgin Airlines. I have not flown them, but Virgin America, people say it's a great airline. Let's go back to the live line. Clay has a question about air service and air-related issues. Go ahead, Clay.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Hi.
My question to you is, I would like to see you add some restaurants in the place that's a national chain, even if it's a fast food place. I've been to cities of size of Tucson, and this is the only foreign airport I've been in that don't even have a McDonald's or any other restaurant like that. Could you do something about that?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Clay, it just so happens, another subject we were going to try and delve into a little bit here.
It's next. So thank you, Clay. Good segue. We're talking about the big terminal renovation project.
Right, and construction is going to be starting in June on a terminal improvement and renovation project. And actually, you know, the one of the main pieces of that is actually relocating and enlarging the TSA security checkpoints area to try and get people move through the checkpoints faster. But another aspect of that, which is kind of going on concurrently, is we actually are going out on the street right now. Our requests for proposals on redoing all of our concession programs at the airport. So that includes the food and beverage program, as well as the retail program. And one of the goals and requirements that we set for the food and beverage program is we want a combination of national brands and local brands. Now, obviously, you prefer, national brands. There's a lot of people who prefer local brands. So, you know, we want to have a combination of that. You know, we're looking forward to, you know, really enhancing that offering. And we're actually going to be, as part of this program, opening up some additional areas media for those programs as well. So not only have some new and better concepts, but also some larger spaces for that program as well.
Yeah, and that makes sense because everyone has different tastes in that. Some people want a national chain and others, I kind of like the local stuff, but I can certainly see. So we'll get a mix, hopefully, of to appeal to everyone. All right, so this is a $28 million terminal renovation project. I saw some of the renderings. They look really good.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. So, you know, the security checkpoints, you know, I think all of you probably know where those currently are. They're kind of in these narrow hallways going out to the concourses. So what we're going to be doing is relocating those checkpoints on both concourses out to the far ends of where the ticketing areas currently are. So that's going to allow for expansion from three lanes to four lanes in each concourse. And at the same time, you know, once you get through those checkpoints, it's going to be an open view with windows right out to the airfield and the aircraft apron. So it's going to bring a lot of natural light in. It's going to be nice open areas with terrazzo flooring. It's going to have we're going to have what we call recomposure areas after the TSA checkpoints where people can sit down and put their shoes back on and that sort of thing. We're going to have a business center on each concourse once you get past the security checkpoints, a children's play area on each concourse, and upgraded flooring in the concourse areas. And, you know, that's the, you know, the sexy stuff, you know, on the not so sexy stuff, it's a 50-year-old terminal building, and there's a lot of things like water pipes, sewer pipes, electrical systems, and all of that.
The stuff we don't see, right?
Yeah, that are also part of this project, but obviously very critical to the operation of the airport.
Yeah, it really looks like a great project. Now, the issue of the day concerning the TSA staffing, Congresswoman McSally sent a letter yesterday to the administrator of TSA, with her concerns about these long passenger wait times at TIA.
Yeah, and you know, we hear from our customers here at the airport, and it's very disappointing for us because one of the things that we really pride ourselves on here in Tucson is the customer service aspect, and it's a much more user-friendly airport than the other airport that's up to the north of us. But it really is a nationwide problem. It's not just us. So for those of you who are sitting in what is a longer line than you may be used to standing in Tucson, please understand that it's not just us. If you went to a different airport, it would be even worse. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate Congresswoman McSally's help with this issue. And it's really, unfortunately, a result of poor planning on the part of TSA and expecting certain things to happen that didn't have reducing their staffing and really being ill-prepared for the amount of passengers that are traveling in throughout the country right now.
All right. A caller who did not have time to stick around but actually brings up a good question. This is something, Dick, you and your colleagues at really at airports all over the world, and I've heard arguments for and against moving the kind of the security area out to like curbside. And this is, of course, the caller wants to know what is the latest on modification happening due to the Brussels airport bombing.
Well, the you know, here in Tucson, I you know, we always are very vigilant about safety and security, and that's not changing, of course, due to that. Now, there are the federal government right now, both the House and the Senate, are debating FAA reauthorization bills, and I know that there's been some discussion about the FAA creating some new regulations and requirements for airports to do something differently. I don't think there's been any resolution on that. But, you know, we feel that, you know, we run a very safe and secure airport here. And obviously we will do, you know, whatever we need to comply with whatever regulations the federal government deems are appropriate for the circumstances.
All right. And getting back to the TSA and the lines, I strongly urge, I applied for it and was accepted, thankfully, into the GOES program. And the GOES program gives you not only the pre-TSA check for domestic, but the big one of the big advantages coming back into the country, you're not going to have to worry about real long customs lines because you'll go to a kiosk. Big thing for people to do, and I know the government's trying to get more people to do this.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the reasons why the TSA is having problems now is because they were hoping, I guess is probably the best word to use, that 25 million people would have signed up for the PreCheck program at this point, and only I think about 6 million have, and so as a result of that, they actually reduced their staffing because they thought that the expedited screening was going to catch on more than it has. But Bill is absolutely right. The best thing you can do to help yourself get through security faster is to sign up for either PreCheck or the Global Entry program. And if you do any international traveling at all, the Global Entry is much better. It only costs $15 more than TSA PreCheck for the five-year program. And the expedited customs entry on the way back to the U.S. is fantastic.
Just Google G-O-E-S. The program is GOES. And you fill out the application online, and hopefully you'll be accepted online, and then you go out to the airport, and you have a short interview, and then it really, the whole process from beginning to end, from when you apply, should be done certainly within 3 to 4 weeks. So there's still time to do that before the big summer travel season. Let's work one more caller in. The caller, the question, new driver's licenses, are they available already?
Yes, and for those of you who may not know, the this refers to a federal requirement that in several years it will be a requirement that you have a different type of driver's license that requires you to go through a more enhanced background check in order to be able to use that as ID to go through a TSA security checkpoint. Arizona was a little bit late to the game, but my understanding is that sometime in April, these licenses were going to be available. So your best bet there would probably be to go to the Arizona, you know, ADOT website and look up the Motor Vehicle Division, and I'm sure you'll be able to find information there on exactly when those driver's licenses will be available.
And speaking of websites, folks should go to your website.
That's right, flytucson.com, all the information you would ever want to know about the airport.
And all the airlines that use it. So
absolutely,
everything is in there at flytucson.com. Dick Grunzel, thank you very much, Dick, and happy travels to you.
And you too, Bill.
Thank you very much, and we will catch up with you as we get into the summer, and we'll see how we are doing on all these different topics. Thanks, Dick.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Coming up now on 12:32 on Buckmaster. We'll be right back.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Don't Miss Business event of the season is here. The 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards are May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort at 5:30 p.m. Join us for a celebration of the long history of Better Business Bureau in Southern Arizona as we honor this year's winners for their work in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. This spectacular dinner event is selling fast. Don't delay. Reserve your spot today and register at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for our quarterly Tucson Air Service update, plus Tucson Weekly education writer David Safir for his monthly visit to our program. Buckmaster airs live noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got live streaming podcasts and our complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. Midweek edition. The program is Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and we're live streaming at KVOI.com and my website, BuckmasterShow.com, which kicks you over to KVOI. But the bottom line is that we stream the program for you anywhere in the world. David Safir is here. David is the education writer on the column that is known as The Range at TucsonWeekly.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill. Thanks.
I wanted to talk a little bit about a letter that I received today that was, I'm on Dr. Mark Stegeman's mailing list, mm-hmm. along with other people in the media and, of course, his constituents, because Dr. Stegeman is one of the five board members for the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. Dr. Stegeman is concerned about, as are a lot of people, standardized testing.
Sure. Basically, the email, which I appreciate you sending to me because I didn't get it this morning, is saying that standardized testing, the yearly testing, he supports. As a matter of fact, he actually supported the No Child Left Behind and is kind of worried about it being watered down with the current replacement of No Child Left Behind. But he thinks that some of these quarterly benchmark tests are too much, so he wants to take those away. Now, here's the thing that anybody has to think of right now. It's election season, and Mark is up for election this year. So anything he says or any candidate says, from president down to Martha McSally to anybody running for the state office, all of those things have got to be taken into consideration that way. And Mark has a funny needle to thread. He used to be the Democratic supported board member. And then he did a number of things that alienated the Democratic Party. He became more of an independent Republican supported candidate. And he's trying to thread the needle here, saying, I'm all for testing, but we do too much testing. So let's have testing, but let's not have as much testing. So he's really trying to have it both ways in this PC road.
That's a good point, because we have to remember that the board members are, it's nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
They're not they don't run as a Democrat or Republican.
No.
But there is a feeling of that they go one way or the other.
Well, yeah. Mark Stegeman used to be a Democrat, mm-hmm. and recently he changed his allegiance from Democrat to independent. Mm-hmm. And one reason was that he supported two of the board members for election last time with money, and also helping them with their signatures, their petition signatures. And he supported them without letting anybody know he did it. And the Democratic Party got rather upset. These were two conservative Republican board members. And let's face it, like everything else, things don't divide absolutely, obviously, along party lines. But, you know, the progressive conservative lines hold an education as well to some extent.
He is asking for some specifics. Let's go over some of those. Mm-hmm. He's asking the district shall administer one benchmark test during the first 4 weeks of the first quarter and another during the first 2 weeks of the third quarter.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like I have to jump back earlier than that.
Okay.
He's supporting standardized testing, which is a high-stakes testing, yearly testing, which determines the score for the student and how that person is perceived, the teacher and how that person is perceived as a teacher, the school, how that's perceived as a school, and the district. Everything's on the line with those tests. And because those tests are so important, because they're high-stakes, everything that happens in the classroom is geared toward those tests. So we don't do art as much. We don't do music as much. We don't do discussion as much. We don't do history as much, because we've got to teach the reading, writing, and arithmetic that are on those tests. I think that's pushed too much. Mark thinks that's fine, but right now there are quarterly benchmark tests, four of them, fall, winter. Anyway, yeah. There are four of them. The last one is in May. Well, he says the four are all required. I looked it up this morning, and it seems like the last one in May isn't required, Bill, because that's after the state tests, and mm-hmm. these are supposed to be for the state tests. But he wants to cut it down to two tests, one in fall and then one early in the second semester. And the one early second semester, he says, we'll make that not quite optional, but if the kids seem to be doing well, we'll leave that one. I mean, we'll allow them to skip that one, which is very interesting. And what's interesting about it is you're saying, if you're good students, you get more instruction time. And if you're not good students, translate that to poor, translate that to minority, then you get less instruction time and more testing time. That doesn't sound right to me. There's something about what he's doing that's very... It's not well thought out in a good sense, and it's more thought out, I think, in a political sense. And I'm really disturbed by what seemed like a good idea. I'd always vote for less testing,
mm-hmm.
but it's not really well thought out.
So essentially, the proposal reduces the current four benchmark tests to one or two tests.
Right, except yeah. it's more like three benchmark tests, because the one in May,
yeah.
according to what I saw on the TUSD website, is optional, because that's after state testing. State testing is going on right now. And by May, that's done. So if a teacher wants to see how his or her kids are doing, that's fine, but it's not essential. So that one isn't mandatory. It's problematic what he's doing here. And it looks to me more political than substantive, to be honest.
Is this going to be coming up before the board then? They're going to discuss this or what?
Your guess is as good as mine. I have a feeling that Mark will probably make it as a proposal. I don't know if it's coming from the district or not. And if it happens, I'll say fine, because a couple hours or a couple days less testing I think is a good thing. But it's not a whole lot.
It is budget time up at the state capitol. There's been some memos. Senator Farley said there was a leaked one that showed basically the new budget will not put any more money into public education.
I'm not surprised by that. I saw Representative Farley this weekend. He and I were on a panel talking about Prop 123 down in Sierra Vista. And he didn't talk about that much, but he certainly didn't have any good news. And what happened last year is that the budget was simply dropped, and within, I don't know, 24 hours, 12 hours, what was it? They worked all night. It was all passed in a rush, and the Democrats hardly had time to even look at what was there. There was no lead up. So while Farley says there's no indication there's not going to be any new money, he's probably right, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't know the details, because this is a bit of a sneak attack in the new Ducey era. So.
Well, we also have this issue about blocking of kids care, and really kind of the going hand in hand, I guess you could say, with issues affecting young people.
I am going to have to say, Bill, and this is someone who is a teacher and someone who tries to contribute to charitable causes and help out where I can, that I don't think that Republicans who are in leadership care about children. And when I say they don't care about children, I don't mean they don't care about their own children. I don't mean they beat their kids. I don't mean they don't feed them and send them to bed without supper. They don't care about kids who aren't like their kids. So they don't care about the poorer kids. They don't care about the kids who are in the child services wing. They don't care about kids who are having trouble with health care. They don't care about kids who are getting education that's less than they need. And it's just... It makes me sad. I really think there's a sickness within the Republican Party. And I'm not saying this to every Republican out there, but within the party, with Donald Trump being their standard bearer.
Oh, well,
at this
that's going to
anyway.
Get some calls. 790-2040. Let's hear from you. Tom would like to speak with, and we'll do a break after we hear from Tom. Tom, you're with David Safir.
Mr. Safir, do you think the TUSD budget will increase more than 7% this year?
I don't know exactly what's going to happen, Tom. If Proposition 123 passes, it'll bring a few million more dollars into the district, but not a great deal. And I don't know that it will be as much as 7%. It might be. But if Proposition 123 doesn't pass, there's no way, well, I'm going to back off on that. The only way that it will increase is if they decide on a certain bond issue and it passes. And right now they're tossing around ideas about bond issues to improve buildings for maintenance and improvement of various kinds. So that will not go in any way into the kids' education. It'll go elsewhere.
All right, 790-2040. When we come back, I know that what Mr. Safir said is not resonating with some of our audience, so now's your opportunity to call David and challenge him that Republicans don't care about kids, not their own kids, but kids, as David said, who are not like their kids. We'll be right back.
What is it, boy? You want to go where? To the Humane Society's Putting on the Dog? It is the best event in Tucson. You're right. We should go.
Get your tickets to Tucson's best pet event, Putting on the Dog, Friday, May 6th from 6 to 9 at the Tucson Hilton El Conquistador. Food by Tucson Originals, live and silent auctions, great entertainment, and more. Tickets at hssaz.org/POD. All proceeds benefit the Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
Keep your family and pets safe from bee stings. Call the professional pest control team at Five Star. We give you options in dealing with this situation. We can remove them with our special equipment or send them to bee heaven. Call the professional pest team at 886-0045 or visit fivestar-termite.com.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to everyone for your collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. What if you could see tomorrow? At Biosphere 2, being at the forefront of scientific discovery and innovation is our goal. And every Saturday during April, Biosphere 2 will present expert talks and have science activities focusing on Earth Month. What if presentations include a Nobel Prize-winning climate professor, Oceans Day, and wild jaguars in Arizona? Tours daily and more info at biosphere2.org.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A couple of calls waiting for David Saphir. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim.
Hi, good afternoon. David.
Hi, Jim.
Let's discuss this for just a moment, dear friend. You're right. Republicans do care about their own kids. It's why we send them to charter schools, private schools, or homeschool them at a much higher rate than Democrats. But here's the thing. Democrats care too much about everybody else's kids and not enough about their own. And they try to pawn that responsibility off on government, particularly public education, which takes authorities and responsibilities that do not belong to them over everybody's children. So my suggestion is that Democrats take individual responsibility for the children they produce and individual responsibility for their education like Republicans. And by the way, you can be poor, responsible, and Republican. Thank you, David.
Jim, it seems like I touched a nerve. Well, let me say something about us. We no longer live in the Wild West, where everybody lives in their own sod house or their log house, miles away from everyone, and they have to take care of themselves. We live more in a village. And I do believe that it takes a village to raise a child. And I do believe that one thing that public education should be doing, especially for kids who can't afford some of the essentials, is giving those kids the essentials so they are able, in terms of not being hungry, in terms of not being sick, in terms of not being mistreated as much as possible, to focus on their studies. So we just come from a different point of view on this, Jim. And I respect your viewpoint, and that's fine. But I am not a rugged individualist like you are. I'm more of a group hug type of a person, I have to say.
And there's a room for everybody. And we do respect Jim's opinion, and we respect David's opinion, and we're going to, I'm sure, respect Matthew's opinion. Matthew, you're up next. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sort of glad I followed Jim, because I want to say that I agree with David's overall statement. However, with a qualification, I wouldn't castigate the Republican brand. I think Republicans really are being disserved by their very small-minded leadership, and I will name them: the governor for one, the president of the Senate, Andy Biggs, and of course the worst, the Speaker of the House, David Gowen, who, and maybe a few others in the Republican Party, who for some reason are attempting to force upon Arizona an ideological bent that says that we have no responsibility to ensure for the education and safety of the children of Arizona. These are Arizonan children. And they are the ones who are suffering from policies that make absolutely no economic sense and are being objected to by their own business interests in the state, who are basically had to fight to get back monies. And you know what I'm thinking of, and I can't think of it right now.
For JTED, I think is what you're talking about, right?
Literally had to take on the governor and make threats. But kids care. Business, there could be no worse thing for the state than to walk away from federal money that supports kids care with ill-guided policy objectives.
Okay. Matthew, I tend to agree with most of what you said. I just want those caring Republicans to come out from behind the bushes where they've been hiding and where they have allowed the Tea Party and the conservative Republicans and people like Gowen and like Biggs and like Ducey to hijack and take over their party. I would love to have back what I think would be a reasonable Republican Party, who I can disagree with respectfully and say, we come from different places, but let's see where we can work together and find similarities. That has been lost, I'm afraid. And it's really, it's very frightening the direction this country is going from the right. And when I see it, I'm going to say it again, when I see Donald Trump with what he says and what he doesn't say and what he implies and what his followers have been doing, it just frightens me.
How about Prop 123, David? What have you decided about that?
Well, as I have said before, I don't like it. There's all kinds of things wrong with it, and I'm going to vote for it because I'll tell you a story that I told when I was down in Sierra Vista on Saturday. And
was that a forum on 123?
It was on 123, yeah, and Steve Farley sat there, and I can't remember the name of him, but a superintendent of a small district in that area. Anyway, when I was a teacher in Oregon in the late 90s, I went to my principal, who was a great guy, and asked him for $400 or $500 for a class set of books. And I told him why. I gave him a pitch. And he and I liked each other and we respected each other. He knew I was going to spend the money well. And he knew I wasn't asking for a penny for myself. But he had to turn me down because he said, Dave, I just don't have the money, and started telling me all his budget woes. And I left there feeling sorry for him rather than worrying about myself. And you know what? That was Oregon, where we spent $3,000 more per student than they do in Arizona. We're talking about adding $300+ per student with Prop 123, and it's nothing. It's piddly, but that nothing is something, and it's important. And I support every teacher in every school and every child in this state, and I want them to have even that little bit more money.
You know, Dr. Hendricks, Robert Hendricks, is our one of our contributors on the show. He's with me yesterday, the former superintendent of Flowing Wells. Mm-hmm. He was Arizona School Superintendent of the Year. He said he's worried that if Prop 123 does pass, that many people will say, well, we've given money now to education, we can move on.
Well, my concern goes.
Point.
My concern goes the other way. If it doesn't pass, Ducey said, "Listen, we gave it to the taxpayers, and they said they didn't want it. So we certainly are not going to tax them higher." I think that's what's happening. Hmm. I think this was a devilishly clever move by Doug Ducey, where either way he won't have to take any money out of the general fund for education, and he'll give a pittance out of a fund that it shouldn't be coming from. It's devilishly clever. This is like a get out of jail free cards. This is get out of taxing free cards and get out of budget free cards. He's getting out of the jail the idea that people want more money for education or even willing to pay more taxes for it by doing something that will allow him to still give tax breaks to his rich friends. There's something really wrong about this.
All right, David
situation.
Shafir, we'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly at TucsonWeekly.com, the Range column. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen will be on the other side of the glass as well for that program. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8 in the morning with Chris and Joe, and the Daily Double comes up at 8 to 9. Chris DeSimone and a different guest host every day. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04. We'll be doing our travel segment tomorrow with my friend Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel. I think we're going to talk about European river cruises. Should be fun. Join us tomorrow on Buckmaster. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.